So do you have any opening day, opening week observations?
Well, first of all, opening day was spectacular. It was great games, greatest sport on earth, greatest fan. Well, not greatest fans. I'm one of them, so maybe I'm the greatest, and maybe that makes all the fans. I think I bring it up. I think I raise the level of the quality of fans. Like, you know, other leagues around the world probably want me. Probably, what am I saying? Probably, they definitely want me as their fan because I bring it up. I raise the intelligence, the knowledge, the humor,
the bravado,
the insanity.
I think the first time in something like 30 years that all 15 teams played on opening day.
Well, it was supposed to be, right?
Supposed
there was
to
a
be,
couple
right.
of
scheduled,
couple of rainouts.
Scheduled.
But yeah, all 30 teams were scheduled for 15 games for the first time in 30
long
years.
Time.
It was
that was awesome.
And I think it's the way they should do it. I think it should be opening day, man.
Yeah, I agree. I never liked the when they started doing that 5 or 6 years ago. The opening night was just one game and then a full slate of games, or not a full slate, but like 8 games the next day and then 6 games the day after that. So it's like, let's get them all started at the same time.
Yeah, I think that was a move to like, they usually would start on a Monday, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then they were like, well, while we're here, why don't we start on Sunday with an ESPN game or a couple of games in case one of them gets rained out? Da 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 da. And then it was just like, no, man. Opening day is opening day. Right. Let's get it together, Bud Selig.
Right. It's not like opening night and then opening day and then opening weekend. And yeah.
It's not like Christmas where it's Christmas Eve, but then there's also the 12 days of Christmas.
Right.
And there's also like Black Christmas.
Whoa.
Well, no. Not that kind of black, like the movie Black Christmas, which is a horror film. And I apologize for any sort of racial tone that might have taken.
No, we're good. We're all good. No, it was fun. I mean, it just is. There's this sense of pageantry that comes with opening day, and the each team has their own way of reviewing the season before and previewing what's to come, and announcing players. The Mariners have everybody run in from the outfield on a red carpet.
Nice.
They announce every player that way, which is kind of cool. It really gets you kind of into the whole spirit of the.
They should set up like a velvet rope at the dugout too, and they have to wait in line to get in.
Well, they used to. I don't know if they did it this year. I didn't see the opening ceremonies this year, but they'll have season ticket holders line the red carpet, like
long-time
season ticket holders. So they're out there as the players run in, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's a nice little treat for season ticket holders.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I'm going to tell you my opening day story, John. Here's what happened.
Go for it.
Okay, so opening day, games all day, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the busiest days, work days, like actual work for me. Not podcasting, did we podcast on opening day?
Day before,
okay, good. So I actually had work, like I was writing and I had meetings and I was phone calls and I'm running around. Meanwhile, I'm tracking games on my phone. I'm watching the Red Sox enjoy a very comfortable ass-whooping of the, not an ass-whooping, but a beating.
For a while.
Right, they're putting down the Rays, right? And I get home, and I'm like, okay, good. I'm going to watch the rest of this game.
So you got there for the good stuff, right?
I swear to God, John, and I don't swear, and the existence of God is up to each individual listener, but I sat down, I turned the TV on, and it was, all of a sudden, it was 4-1. It was 4-2. It was 4-3. It was 5-4. It was 6-4. And against like this Punch and Judy lineup, and they just couldn't throw strikes. And then they got to that, you know, that pitchers get to that point where like they can't nibble anymore and they just start grooving them down the middle. And any major leaguer is going to be able to hit.
Right.
And did they ever?
And Kimbrel was the one who gave it up, right? Majority of the
No, Kimbrel didn't even get in the game. And I started thinking like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with Alex Cora? Where is Kimbrel? And then I was like, oh, maybe he was still with his kid in Boston. No, he's on the team. So I'm not 100% sure about this Alex Cora business. Like, bring in your closer to close the game if it's the eighth inning. It doesn't have to be the ninth inning.
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest of weeks for new managers.
Oh, yes. We'll get into the
best story ever, I think. It's the most fun I'll ever have talking about managers.
Yeah, it's – I mean, look, this first few days has been a real testament to, hey – maybe you hire someone with some experience.
Right.
It's a good thing. Just not a lot. Doesn't need to be a lot of experience, but literally any experience.
Yeah. Has been there before.
Yeah.
Has managed a bullpen before.
Oh, just learning on the job at the major league level. Okay. You know, there are other teams that no one's watching. There's no impact here. I mean, in some cases, there was no impact. But anyway.
I'm sure things, we'll get to it in a little bit, but I'm sure this has happened before, but there's never been the limelight of television and social media to completely blow it up. And we'll get to teasing galore here. So
yeah, no, it's awesome. It's awesome. Good. But we'll get into that. We'll get into it.
This is Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
This is episode 62 of Foul Territory, the Sean Doolittle episode.
Ooh, Sean Doolittle. Speaking of social media,
the
social media darling, Sean Doolittle.
Yeah, there's not a lot of 62s out there that, there's some old timers.
Sure.
But more of them have Wally Burger. This is the Wally Burger episode.
One of my, honestly, in classic fantasy baseball, which I've told you about, is when you use old players and you simulate games. One of my favorite guys, Wally Burger. Center field, good range, good power, not great on base percentage, but a good, solid number four, number five hitter for a lineup.
Yeah. There you go.
And thus concludes our super duper niche nerd segment, simulated baseball games.
Yeah, look it up, folks. Wally Burger.
Wally Burger.
And he definitely would have been in your picnic version of...
Oh, yeah. He's the original burger.
The starting nine, right.
That's right.
Okay, so got that out of the way. Now let's talk about headlines.
Okay, let's do it.
So first up, we've got a pretty significant... there's a couple of these numbers kind of floating around out there that are milestones for Latin players. And the first one is Adrian Beltre.
Yes, Adrian Beltre.
He ties Rod Carew for most hits by a player from Latin America.
Right.
Pretty exciting.
Very impressive. First of all, I didn't know Rod Carew was from Latin America. I don't know how I don't know how I missed that all these years. He was on the Angels, I remember, when I was growing up.
Twins
and then
Angels,
I know he was on the Twins and Angels. And I was like, I didn't know maybe I just never heard him speak, or...
Yeah, he was just one
Carew,
of those...
Carew, is that really a...
He's just one of those players, to watch him, you were kind of baffled by how he was so successful. He had a very, or maybe I should say, Ichiro has a very similar, had a slap style.
Yeah, exactly.
That Carew did. So they had a very similar stance, contact hitters.
Yeah.
But Carew was just a wizard. You know, he just could get it. It seemed like he could get a hit whenever he needed to. Special player.
Yeah. And Latin American, or
Latin American,
is that what you say? Do you say someone is Latin American?
He's from Latin America, right? I think you say he's Latin American. Would you?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard that phrasing before. So you say he's from Latin America?
Latin America, yeah,
yeah. But I had no idea that he was that, and I didn't know Adrian Beltre was this far along in like the record books, and like he's tied Rod Carew, but like by the time someone's listening to this, he's probably gone past him and is now like the leading hit getter for anyone from Latin America. That's amazing.
Beltre's what, 38, 39?
Man, he's just keeps banging it out there, man. Yeah. Impressive.
I thought he was on the decline 2-3 years ago when he spent half the season on the DL, but last year he bounced back fine, starting off okay this year.
Yeah. Well, he spent a third of the season on the DL last year, so he's getting better.
Yeah.
I guess at his age, he's convalescing, right?
Right.
It's the convalescence list.
Right. He's gonna see if he can put in two-thirds of a season this year to extend.
He might get up to three quarters.
Yeah, he might. We'll keep an eye on that. We'll watch Adrian Beltre's progress throughout the year.
Yeah.
The other Latin American record... kind of in pursuit is Latin American. The other player from Latin America who's chasing a record is Bartolo Colon. He's four wins away from tying Juan Marichal for the most victories by a Dominican Republic player. And he is determined to get there no matter what it takes. And
he looked pretty good this year in his first start.
He did. Yeah. And he apparently promised his mother that he would pitch until he was 45, and he will be, I think, 45 next month.
Oh, okay.
So he's got to.
What if he just got his wins and then just retired?
Oh, I think he will.
Like in the middle of the season.
I think he might. He's like, this is all I wanted. He's like, I'm good.
You guys need me, I'll be over at the buffet table.
Right. If you need anybody as a pickup at the trading deadline, I'll be around. But yeah.
Oh, hold on a second. It's going to take him about that long to get four wins on the Rangers. Yes. Let's be clear. That's a rough team.
I know that they brought him up just for that start, but he pitched very well.
Yeah.
And they didn't get the win.
It was impressive.
Yeah. So we'll see. 44 years old. Still, I think he throws like 85% fastballs now.
Yeah.
There's really not
much. It's all location with that dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is good if it works.
Yeah.
If players have made careers out of soft tossing and it's all about location. Tommy John.
Wait, what are they doing?
They're soft tossing.
What are these players doing? Soft tossing. Is that what they're calling it these days, John?
Hard tossing. Or tossing salads. Wow. Let's see what else we got. Oh,
so I can kind of imagine what soft tossing would be. I can't even imagine what hard tossing would be. Just like really aggressive.
Smoke. okay, Shohei Ohtani.
Too early for that, John. Yes, this should have been our lead story, the Shohei Ohtani thing. Wow.
So they're calling it Showtime.
Okay.
In L.A., they're stealing from the basketball Lakers.
Classic of the Anaheim Angels to steal from Los Angeles again.
But for the guy that everybody was so hyped on and then took a crap on during spring training because he was so horrific, now all of a sudden he's being thrust into the limelight again because, you know, spring training is always a true indicator of how someone's season's going to go. But no,
people do
clutch.
Get a little worked up about spring training performances. No,
pitched well in his first start. He's hit home runs in back-to-back games. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the second one last night was off Corey Kluber.
Yeah, that was like legitimate.
Yeah, he went down and got that pitch too. So that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's got some power in there. We'll see how it plays out for a whole season, but he's still young. Like he's still what, 22, 23?
23. Yeah, and he's
like he really could develop into maybe not an all-star hitter, but
well, that was
like,
the
he could
big
be in the upper half.
A lot of these talking heads on the MLB network were, you know, basically dissecting his swing and saying all the things that are wrong with it, that he'll never be the hitter that he was in Japan. It's like he's 23. He's now over in the major leagues. He's going to be getting instruction. He's only going to get better if he's got the raw talent. So, yeah. If I'm an Angels fan,
I mean,
if
he was a 28-year-old coming over from Japan, I think that would be a more true statement. Yeah. Like, no, he's not going to hit as well, but like he's still going to be getting better for the next few years as a hitter, as long as he keeps that work ethic in and keeps practicing and keeps doing all the stuff.
He's such a big guy. It's awesome. He has such a long swing. It's a sweet swing to watch.
Yeah.
A little bit of a Ted Williams-esque kind of swing too.
Yeah. It's like Williams meets Ichiro kind of together.
Long
like that.
Loping swing. It's pretty. Yeah.
It's,
I love,
you know what it's like is Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, very similar. Very similar swing. But
I
love
to get a lot of home runs and a lot of strikeouts.
I love the rookies when they hit their home runs, because there's been two or three that I've seen where they finish rounding the bases, they get into the dugout, and nobody greets them.
Right. They get in silent
treatment. Was funny, though. Ohtani was just like going down with his hands up in the air, slapping air. Nobody was there until he finally went up to somebody and grabbed him. Like, could somebody show me some love? And then the whole
I need some love. I need just a little bit. I'm away from my home.
But I think he said it in Japanese, though.
Right.
If you can interpret, that would be
great. I'm away from my home, Mr. Roboto. Domo arigato for the home run, Mr. Shohei Roboto. I feel like that might be racist. I apologize if that's racist.
So he's on a 2-game streak. We'll see what happens today, if they're playing today.
Yeah.
I don't know if they are.
But. Speaking of home run celebrations, how about Nelson Cruz?
Yeah, that's a great way
for the Mariners.
Kick off your season.
Starts off the season with a couple of ding-dongs, and then, like a ding-dong, while coming into the dugout after celebrating, sprains his ankle.
Yeah. Nice. Cleats got caught up on the steps. Yeah. Just turned his ankle over.
Yeah. Speaking it's not like Kendrys Morales, right? Remember Kendrys Morales?
Right, that busted up his
broke his leg.
Yeah, that was horrible.
When he got home celebrating, broke his leg.
Speaking of dumb moves, and I know we'll talk briefly about the Masters way later in extra innings, but did you see Tony Finau yesterday in the par three?
Yes.
Oh, that was brutal. It's his first Masters.
That was amazing.
He hits a great shot, hole in one on the par three, and he's celebrating. He's running backwards and dislocates his ankle.
And then pops it back in.
Live on TV.
Whoa.
It was, so, he was with his family. It was just a great moment, but he's running backwards, hits a little, kind of looked like it might even been where a sprinkler was. Twists his ankle, pops it back into place, kind of gimps off. But he's going to start. We'll see how far he can go. But imagine knowing that you've made it to your first Masters and then you do something in a cheeky celebratory style that winds up just like Nelson Cruz. But Nelson Cruz has been to the dance and has will learn a valuable lesson, or maybe not. But Tony Finau, first Masters. Oof.
Well, I got another take on this, John. Nelson Cruz should be celebrating. He hit a ball outside of the park.
He should celebrate.
That's a celebration.
Well, I noticed that there's now gauntlet at home plate where players get pelted by things, but they don't jump anymore. You're not seeing the big, huge leap.
Because, the Kendrys Morales rule, exactly. Not jump.
Right. So we'll see. There's always one or two of those injuries a year where players get hurt celebrating. And I don't know if you saw D. Gordon's first home run as a Mariner. I think he only hit two or three last year. He hit his first one in their opening homestand. And he was done rounding the bases in like 7 seconds. He blazed around. And then when he crossed home plate and started running towards the dugout, he was taking in full stride, takes a huge leap to do a high five and almost, did a split. And I thought he was for sure going to get hurt, but he survived.
These Mariners, man, they're just like, we want to be injured. Right. How can we do it?
Home runs. What is this thing? We love it. Let's celebrate.
I've hit a home run. Now I must injure myself.
And everything was looking good for the Mariners until Felix took the mound yesterday and got trounced.
He looked so good in the first start. Well, not so good, but he looked solid in the first start.
Yeah, his velocity
and then up against the weak-hitting Giants, it was
toast.
Oof. Panda hit one off of him. Oof.
That says a lot about your career.
That's that is time to think about hanging it up.
Yeah, speaking of Joe Panic.
The Giants, yes.
And the Giants. And did we speak of Joe Panic, or am I just
not
anticipating
yet?
It?
No. Panic at the Disco, right?
There you go. Yeah, Panic at in Dodger Town as a result of Mr. Panic winning two ball games all by himself.
The Dodgers lost the first two games, 1-0. Both off of Joe Panic home runs, one home run off of Clayton Kershaw, the best left-handed pitcher, starting pitcher in baseball, and maybe of this generation, and probably of this generation. And then also the next game hit one off of Kenley Jansen, who was until game two of last year's World Series, the best closer in baseball.
Things have gone downhill a little.
I wrote an article about this for the Foul Territory site, and normally I don't just write a reaction piece because I like to write about stupid things. Like I'm working on an Avengers Infinity War tie-in, which teams are which superheroes. That's going to be a fun thing I'm working on. But I decided to write this thing about Kenley Jansen where basically he has become a bad pitcher since game two of the World Series where he gave up, and he's been giving up home runs to nobodies, like Joe Panic. Marwin Gonzalez. And Marwin Gonzalez is a solid player, but then Alex Bregman he gave up a home run to. And these are guys who are major league hitters, but not home run hitters. And we were talking about this earlier, you and I, off the air, about Kershaw is doing the same thing. Giving up home runs to Joe Panic, Descalso. I don't even remember Descalso's first name. But he's a little soft hitter, and he hit a home run. And then David Peralta hit a home run. What's going on with these Dodgers? Wake up. You lost the World Series. Get over it. It's time to move on.
And you put
she's not getting back together with you. It's okay.
And you put a note in here that it's their worst start in 20 years.
Yeah, 2-5 worst start. Now, you know, there's a lot of teams out there where 2-5 wouldn't be the worst start they've had in 20 years. But this is the Dodgers. Like 2-5, get it together, man.
This is the team that went 59-7 at one point last year.
Yeah,
I think they're.
You got a 1-0 loss to start, a 1-0 loss for the second game. They won the next couple of games. The offense decided to start swinging. Then the Kenley Jansen blew that 3-run lead. Mm-hmm. Woo. To giving up a 3-run home run to Chris Owings. Yeah. Yes.
The
Who?
Surging,
exactly.
The surging D-backs.
The Owls show up for that one. Who? And they lost the next two against them, right? Yeah.
There was a fury on, or a flurry, and fury on.
Furious flurry, John.
Furious flurry on social media that Jansen was, you know, stretching his arm and holding his shoulder, and people were concerned that, you know, is there something wrong there?
There's something wrong. The guy's throwing 90 miles an hour. He used to throw 95. He threw 95 6 months ago.
So his velocity is down that much?
Yeah, I mean, it was 89-90 in the first game, and in the second game it was 91, but still 90-91, but still, like,
that's a big
4
decline.
Miles an hour, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a huge decline for one pitcher over one offseason.
Yeah, professional major league hitters will tell you that there's a huge difference between someone who throws 90 to somebody who throws 95, and also from 95 to 100. There's a big difference. It's a noticeable difference. And so when someone's off that much, you can tell. You know, like Felix Hernandez, even though he's off, I mean, he's probably down in his prime. He was topping out at 94, 95. He's down to like 91, 92 tops, mostly in the 89, 90 range now. He's a completely different pitcher.
Yeah.
Not the same pitcher.
Well, also because the pitch speed difference between his changeup
and his fastball is almost the same.
The changeup's still the same speed for some reason.
I don't know how
he hasn't been able to slow that down. But.
Yeah, his changeup is like 86, 87, and his fastball used to be mid-90s, so that was a big difference, and now there's really not that much of a difference between the two.
I still feel like he just needs to find a new pitch. I think he's just one of those guys. Like, if you want to stick around, dude, You have to find a new pitch, or just go full Bartolo Colon and just be
soft
like,
toss.
Do whatever that guy's doing.
He's a soft tosser now.
Yeah. That's a unicorn, though. It's a heavyweight unicorn, but Bartolo Colon is a unicorn.
He is definitely the big sexy, and we love him for it. let's see what else we got here. This was great. So Giancarlo Stanton opens up his Yankee tenure with two home runs in opening day. Mashes two shots.
Right.
Then comes back to New York.
Opening day in New York.
Strikes out, goes 0 for 5. Did he strike out all five times?
Yeah, platinum sombrero.
Okay, he gets booed after his last at-bat.
The fans booed the brand new player that just came over to their team. It wasn't like three guys.
Oh,
okay?
No. You could hear it.
Yeah. It was... But here's the thing. Be careful what you wish for, Giancarlo Stanton.
Right.
Oh, I just want to go play for competitive. Yeah, but remember, the Yankees are jerks. They have that whole, like, well, he's not a true Yankee thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and fans actually think that about modern professional baseball players. Right. Well, he's not a true Yankee.
Homegrown.
Yeah, like, oh, okay. Five strikeouts. Yeah, that stinks. Obviously, he was trying to impress. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't mock the guy. The guy came to you. He's here to help you.
Right. And then he hit a home run.
He was the MVP last year. Yeah.
And so it's all as well again until he strikes out.
Yeah, but then he also struck out three more times.
But yeah.
It's... 8 strikeouts in 2 games. Pretty impressive, Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh, there'll be a lot of that.
Yeah.
No worries.
Well, that lineup, I mean, Sanchez and Judge and Stanton. And Stanton. That's a... Whew. It's a lot of swing and miss.
They had their three sluggers all hit home runs yesterday.
Yeah.
So we saw, you can see what they can do when they're on. But there's going to be, for every game like yesterday, there's going to be more platinum sombreros.
Yeah. I feel like they are going to lead the league in platinum sombreros.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to lead the league probably in home runs and in strikeouts. So we'll see how that plays out come October.
Yeah. I mean, that is if they can stay healthy, right? Yeah. Like, you see, they lost Aaron Hicks. What was it game first game.
Yeah,
played Hicks, one game.
Hicks hurt, Bird hurt.
And they called up McKinney. They called up McKinney to replace Hicks. Then McKinney got hurt. They had Aaron Judge playing center field.
Yeah, that looked
dogs
weird.
Dogs and cats sleeping together.
Yeah, it's one of the things since we've seen the 10-day DL, it's flurry of activity, and I hate it. I like the old days, you know, the 15 where they would let somebody sit on the bench and, you know, percolate for a while. Now it's just like everybody goes on the DL.
Yeah, well, Nelson Cruz, they put him on the 10-day DL, but they said that if they were – they wouldn't have put him on right. if they were playing home games right. where he could actually DH.
Right. And that makes sense. In that situation, yeah. I think it does make sense. But it is, yeah. you know, it does give other players in the minor leagues a chance to come up, you know, might albeit.
Look at you with the positivity, John. Two, yes, exactly.
One or two games. Yeah.
Exactly. Get that big pay bump real quick.
Right.
Go from making 3 cents an hour to making whatever, $1,000 an hour.
They get to fly to right? a game as opposed to busing it.
Yeah.
All good.
See, look at you, Pop, bringing the positivity today, John. You should get up early every day.
No, I was bright and early today before the sun came up. But so for every positive comment, there also has to be something on the negative side. I don't know how yes. I spin Yasmani Tomas being cut and the Diamondbacks saying goodbye to $42 million.
Well, here's the thing. He's now the highest paid minor leaguer. So that's now true. The average pay for minor leaguers has gone up. Baseball should use that in their negotiations.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, hey,
what do you mean? What do you mean we don't pay you guys enough? We're paying one of you guys $42 million.
And there's, you know, there's nothing they can do about that.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. And he's still bad got signing. Three more years.
The thing is, like, you know, in 5 years ago or whatever, this guy would have been a great DH on some team. Mm-hmm. But just that market, the DH corner outfielder market, is dried up so much. It doesn't exist in the current game. You know, like maybe someone will pick him up, you know, like the Royals might pick him up at, you know, the league minimum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that becomes an option for them, just like, hey, maybe we catch lightning in a bottle. A guy can hit. Doesn't hit a lot. Doesn't get on base, but he can hit.
Maybe it's just a matter of pairing him with the right hitting coach.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like the hitting coaches in Arizona were the right fit.
Yeah. I mean, again, like you also have a guy who's like running around playing the outfield who's a little heavy set, and that makes it harder, so he's a little more tired. But maybe just put him in a DH situation. Like, look at Avisail Garcia for the White Sox. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he does play the outfield a little bit. But, you know, they just stuck with him, and all of a sudden he became a pretty solid hitter.
Yeah. We'll see. See how that one plays out.
That's bad an circumstance.
Awful lot of money to be playing in AAA.
Yeah, but you know what? If I'm Yasmani Tomas, I take the money. I know, was it Castillo? What was the guy from the Red Sox? Rosny Castillo, is that his name?
Rosny Castillo, yeah. I think that's it.
He's the second highest paid minor leaguer at $36 million over the next 3 years. And the Red Sox can't bring him up or even put him on the 40-man roster because then it'll affect their salary cap. Salary luxury tax, right. blah, 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 salary cap. So he's just stuck in the minor leagues. They can't use him. Like, it'll just cost them more money to use him than just to bring up a minor leaguer.
Yeah, so it's not being blocked by another player. He's being blocked by
his own contract that's paying him, you know, whatever, a total of $60 million. What do you do? Well, for me, I take the money.
I play
triple A baseball and I take the money. Yeah, I say, you know what? I hope my team wins.
I'll get there one day, but I'm not complaining.
Maybe not. I was there. It was fun.
He's not this making $10,000 a summer. That's for sure.
I mean, the guy has, you know, everything he'll ever want forever.
Right.
Maybe. Or maybe he'll spend it all. Who knows?
Like a lot of players from Latin American countries, they're coming, you know, up from kind of less than desirable and impoverished situations. Right. And
well, the guy came from Cuba.
Yeah, that's even worse.
Yeah.
So,
like, this guy can buy a brand new car,
or two.
Yeah. But like, just the fact that he can buy a car that's made in the last year,
yeah, not from the
50s, is totally different than what's going on in Cuba.
Right. No, there's no. I'm sure there's very little complaining going on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, well. Win some, lose some.
So, speaking of complaining, if you're a Phillies fan,
yes,
you got to have some complaints in your quiver after softball coach, or I should say Little League coach, or I should say T-ball coach.
Yeah. Tecmo?
Yeah.
Tecmo coach? Is that what's going on here with this guy? Like, what is happening?
He is out of control so far. So much.
So the Dodgers almost picked him to be their manager and then went with Dave Roberts. And then the Phillies went with Gabe Kapler. No managerial experience. And as a matter of fact, mostly sort of front office experience.
Right.
Though, of course, he did play the game.
And he's buff.
And he is ripped. But it does not seem like he really knows how to manage a baseball team.
So the hysterical event.
Yes.
And I think this was over the weekend. Was it Sunday?
Yeah, against the Braves. Yeah.
He goes out, takes his pitcher out, notifies the umpire that he's calling somebody in, walks out to the mound, and there's nobody in the bullpen warming up.
Yeah.
There's an oversight there.
Yeah.
And then the story afterward did not match up. He said that the guy had warmed up earlier, thought he would be ready, and the reporters talked to the pitcher. He's like, no, I didn't warm up, but I could get ready pretty quick. I only need about 8-10 pitches. I'm ready to go.
Right. So then the umpires had to bend the rules a little bit.
Right. Much to the dismay.
Yes.
Of the manager who pitched a fit.
Yeah, the Braves manager.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If I was managing the other team, I probably would have pitched a fit, John. Because the rules are the rules.
Or if maybe they need to address this in the offseason with some sort of, if there's ever a blunder like that again, what does that mean? That if you're going to take more than the allotted pitches or allotted time, that you get strikes called against the batter? Or
here's
or,
the thing. They don't need to address it. The umpire needs to not bend the rules. I understand why he bent the rules, player safety. If you're so concerned about player safety, oh, you know what? No, you could just say intentional walk. Right?
Right. Give him more time.
And then that's the one pitching appearance for the pitcher.
Could be, yeah. And then bring in another
one. But
it's
just such a mess. It's such incompetence.
And he took full responsibility for it, fell on the sword, all that stuff. But still, that doesn't excuse
it. I don't know about full responsibility.
Is it my fault?
It didn't.
You know, but he did, and then he kind of tried to justify
it. I feel like that was
it.
Full responsibility. I felt that was like, yeah, it's my fault, but also there were these other things.
Right. It's like, maybe.
And also, and then also, if you think about this other thing, then please don't fire me.
And maybe if he hadn't in the previous two games before that had like eight changes. Bullpen.
Well, it wasn't in one game. He had like 11 changes.
Yeah, just crazy.
Yeah. Like I didn't even know they had that many pitchers on their team.
He just wanted everybody to get in the game.
That guy is a Little League coach.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, this is what happened with Mattingly. Mattingly went out to the mound and then did something. I remember he went out and talked to the pitcher and then walked off the mound and then turned back around and took a step towards the pitcher. And that counts as a second visit to the mound.
Right. So they had to take him out.
So they had to take the pitcher out. And I was like, you fire him right now. You fire Don Mattingly right now because this guy doesn't know how to manage a game. If he doesn't know a simple thing like that, that like you can't say, oh, I'm going to go back and talk to the pitcher. Like he's not going to really know how to manage a game.
And he was a bench coach for like 8 years before that.
Yeah.
Obviously he wasn't
paying attention to what managing was. He was like, no, I'm here and I'm discussing the game. Right. And he probably knows 50% of the game.
And now he's in a great place with the Marlins.
Yes.
Because there's nothing.
Well, at least
they can
all learn from his. Well, he can do everything wrong and no one's going to care. Like social media will not care if Don Mattingly comes in and forgets to warm up the pitcher. It'll be like, yeah, okay, well, that's what's happening in Miami right now. Right. Why did they trade the pitcher? Was he good?
Right.
Was the contract just slightly too expensive?
No, but I've watched a couple of Marlins games. I've been pleased. They don't look as like the bad news Bears that everybody thought, you know, they were going to be coming this season. They're still going to lose a boatload of games.
I mean, they're going to have some stretches, man.
Yeah, they're going to. But they were pretty darn competitive against the Red Sox and Cubs. I was quite,
absolutely.
Quite pleased.
Yeah, Urena looked good against the Red Sox.
Yeah, but didn't get the
that's
win.
They're going to have some stretches, man.
No,
just
they will.
Be prepared.
They will.
Just be prepared.
So, well, let's see what else we got here. Oh, yeah, this was pretty cool. Facebook yesterday had their very first MLB exclusive broadcast.
Exclusive.
Yeah.
You couldn't watch this game anywhere else.
Yeah, it was pretty special.
Yeah, it was weird. Did you hear apparently John Kruk, because there's no FCC regulations over a Facebook broadcast, was getting a little loose with basically discussing what he used to do during rain delays was watching porn.
Really?
He's like, I used to watch videos, but they weren't of other pitchers.
Wow.
Like, wow. Okay, John Kruk.
Was he hitting the sauce during the game?
I just think he was like, you know, being a little loosey-goosey with the no rules thing, which I guess is what you should do, right? I tuned in for part of the game, maybe about 45 minutes, because, you know, it's Thor pitching for the Mets and Aaron Nola pitching for the Phillies. It's a good matchup. And half the comments were, this is stupid. How come I can't watch this on my TV? And I'm like, my question is, what are you doing? Are you unemployed? Why do you care about this?
Yeah, if you can watch it on your phone, you could be anywhere watching it.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, are all of you freelance writers like I am, where I can take 45 minutes out of my day to sit?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, please explain to me how things should be. And like, I had to get Facebook just so I could watch this game. Ever heard of the radio, man? Ever heard of just like not watching the game? Do you have to watch all 162 of the Mets games? If that's the case, first of all, I feel bad for you, because it's going to be some rough go in there.
I didn't get a chance to see it as it was happening, but I saw some commentary and replays and stuff from the game. Did they actually have some of the Facebook feeds at the bottom of the screen throughout the game?
Well, they would. They have a comment section next to it where you can pretty much say anything. And then they would occasionally put up people's comments that were like, wow, this is so great. I love that I can watch baseball. I'm in Guatemala. Though I'm saying it with an American accent. It was probably like, wow, DC is so great. I can watch the game in Guatemala.
Oh, we're going to get letters.
Is that racist? Look, I don't know why a guy in Guatemala is writing in perfect English. This is a strange world we live in.
I saw that there was something that somebody had posted that, I don't know who the batter was for the Mets. Oh, he's going to hit a home run right now, next pitch. And then boom.
Oh, nice.
So chances are pretty good that, you know, somebody feels, I mean, I've had that happen to me numerous times in the past 40 years where I've said, so-and-so is going to hit a home run. I can feel it. And then something happens.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that if you have millions of people watching a game on social media, that a handful are going to feel that way.
Right. Also, but there's like 1,000 people saying it. So
right.
It's going to happen
every
now and then.
Putting it out there every now and then they're going to, but I don't, my question was whether or not they were posting those after the fact, or they were posting them, they were showing up before.
Well, you can see the comments as they load, or as some people were not aware and kept complaining about, you can just mute the comments.
Oh, okay. Which I would do. I wouldn't want to see a steady stream of lunacy.
That's I think the thing that they need to figure out is, because it's just like comment, 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 comment. So like, how am I supposed to even read that? So that's the thing I think they need to figure out, is how do you turn it into an interactive experience?
Yeah, the way they should do that is that you could put groups. That would be ideal. If, like, say we had, you know, our fantasy team and we were watching a game and we were all participating, we were only seeing each other's comments. Right. That would be cool.
Yeah. Some way to make it so that there could be interaction between the commenters.
Yeah, anyway, I think it's a work in progress too. Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to being like on Twitter and constantly streaming everything that's going on, the whole world sees that. But if I was just hanging out with, you know, 5 fans of the same team and we wanted to watch the game together and comment, that would be cool. I get that.
Yeah, I agree.
Work on that, Facebook.
My favorite moment of the game, by the way, is runner at first and third. Runner takes off for second base with 2 outs.
Oh, I did see that.
Is attempted. They almost can't throw him out. He runs back to first base. It's Hoskins, right? And he's kind of lumbering over to first. Carlos Santana runs, steals home. He winds up stealing home. But Adrian Gonzalez has Rhys Hoskins out. It's 2 outs. He has him out. He's got him running out of the baseline. So either way, this guy's going to be out, or he tags him. Then Adrian Gonzalez, in full old man mode, slowly pivots home and throws off his back foot, left with his left hand, but off the wrong foot towards home, and Carlos Santana. And look, just for people who don't know, Rhys Hoskins and Carlos Santana is about as slow as you can get.
Right. They're two lumberers. Yeah.
They're just two lumbering dudes. But you know who's more lumbering? Adrian Gonzalez at first base. Wow. Wow. He basically just gave them a run. It didn't affect the game because they wound up winning, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, Thor did not look great. Only pitched four innings. But I think it's a smart idea. You know, people complaining, oh, I can't watch it on my TV. You're like, all right, well, too bad. Watch the next one. Trust me, nothing will change in your life at all, other than maybe you have a little more free time. But getting games onto these social media platforms, I think, is important for the game.
Sure.
For expanding them, not just
generation, right?
Not just for fans on Facebook, but younger fans, and also international.
Yeah, and I'm sure Major League Baseball isn't concerned about the old curmudgeons that are complaining.
Right, like, exactly.
We're more concerned about the young kids who are embracing this than the old guys that are bitching and moaning.
Yeah.
Because that's where the future of the game is.
Yes, the old players, old fans are more likely to be dead and become non-viewers than the young viewers are.
So there was a big extension signing yesterday.
Yeah, Charlie Blackmon.
Yeah, big money.
I think this is one of those things where it's like, based off that last offseason, he's like, you know what? I'm going to take the pretty great money and just be good with that. I'll take the comfort of it.
What became the news immediately was, instead of it being a celebration of Blackman's moment in his contract, was, well, what about Nolan Arenado? Are they going to be able to afford to keep him too? And Arenado was really cool about it. He goes, you know what? I'm not really thinking about it. And I never kind of made the connection. And this is Charlie's moment. So let it be about him.
Yeah.
I mean, because he was being addressed. But LeMahieu was asked too. And he's like, yeah, they're not talking to me, so I don't expect to stay. Yeah. So I was just like, oh, okay.
That's got to be a weird thing though, right? When you're like on a team and you're pretty good, but really, you're not great.
Yeah, it sends a strong message. It's like,
weird.
Hey, representation, have they reached out to you? No, I'm sorry, they haven't talked to us in a year. What's going on here? Why am I not valued?
Yeah.
It's got to send a little bit of a message.
Yeah. Little odd.
It is.
Little odd.
But the beard will be in Colorado for the next 3 years.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
Keeping him warm with his giant piles of money as well, keeping him warm.
This story I have not seen, and I'm...
Again, this should be the last story because it's the story of the year again.
Is it? At first glance, it seems a little clown car crazy.
Yes.
Is it?
Okay. The lawyer for Jose Fernandez, or his estate, I guess, because he's passed, says that Jose was framed in the deadly boat crash that killed him and his friend.
How can you be framed?
It was part of a robbery, and the two of them were drugged and then put on the boat somehow. And so what this is a lawyer trying to angle liability insurance, insurance claims, and also the lawsuit against Jose Fernandez's estate from the other guy who died, right? Mm-hmm. Who's responsible? So what you do is, now see, here's the thing. In a criminal case, this is something that lawyers do where they try to make it seem like, well, who else could have been the killer, right? So you got the reasonable doubt. But in a civil case, it's not reasonable doubt. It's a preponderance of evidence. So all they have to do is show that he was more than likely the guy who was responsible, and you can win a civil suit. And so in a time of Trump lawyers and other majestic beasts in our world, I love that this guy is coming out with this scenario. Because here's the thing. That's a scenario that is plausible. There is some possibility. Right? But it's highly improbable and didn't happen. And yeah, it's just too bad. And
it's a year and a half later. Maybe if this was floated in the months after, that would have made
more
sense.
No, but this is the legal stuff that, like, I used to do when I was, you used to do graphic design. We used to do a newsletter for insurance claims.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like years after the actual incident. It's like, oh no, now they're arguing that the car light, the headlights were definitely on. So there's less of a liability, blah, 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 right? And it's like, it's just like this. They just get into these like little things to try to make the claim, instead of $12 million, they get it down to $8 million.
Jeez.
right? The settlement, not the settlement, but the blah, blah, that the jury gives, the award from the jury.
Right. That's just bizarre. I'm going to have to definitely read that one because when I first read it, I was like, what?
Yeah.
This doesn't sound plausible.
Now, here's the thing, John. This is so crazy that I actually read the article.
It sounded like it.
I actually researched it because I was like, I can't just put this in here and be like, all right, good. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. You know, that happened.
As I have in the past.
Wow. That's interesting. I'm going to definitely read up on that one.
Great.
Because
yeah.
It's unfortunate too, because it continues to drag his name through the mud.
Right. Or through the shallow waters into the rocks. Is that what you mean?
Too soon? okay. So in addition to Camping World.
Yeah.
Baseball has now signed another huge, obvious connecting deal.
And let us not forget our delicious non-sponsor, Snapple.
Yeah, we haven't.
Which I wish I had one of right now.
I could use a little palate cleansing right now.
I could use a little palate cleanse and a little caffeine kick from that iced tea. Yeah, Snapple, delicious and tasty.
And you can take it on a camping trip with all the gear that you bought at Camping World.
And what are you going to put on your car that you go on the camping trip, John?
Hankook Tires, the official tire of Major League Baseball.
And I love the pronunciation there, John, because I like to call it Hancock.
I don't think it is.
No, I just like to call it Hancock.
Oh, Hancock. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I've heard the pronunciation of it before, so I was pretty confident I was in the right there.
Yeah. It's for those soft-tossing pitchers.
Right, Hancock.
Right. Hancock. No, it is Hankook. The official tire now of Major League Baseball. So I guess if they do bullpen carts, the tires will have to be Hankook.
They will.
So I think this is going to be a good year for baseball.
Don't say that.
Yeah, and all the announcers now are not allowed to say. Boy, he's doing great this year. He's having a really
Hankookian year.
Hankook. He's having a really Hankook. You mean he's having a good year? No, he's having a Hankook.
And everybody will know what that means.
Everyone.
Part of the baseball lexicon.
Of course, because they're the official tire. And you know what? One thing I love is we're worried about baseball, but you definitely want to associate things being tired with baseball. Worried about people thinking baseball's too slow? Let's bring the word tire into it. Couldn't they just not have an official tire?
Yeah, they don't need it, you know. What's next? Like,
what's the official home furnishings store of Major League Baseball?
The official laxative of Major League Baseball. Yeah. What's next? But, you know, that just shows that the game is fine financially.
Yes.
When someone's competing to be the official tire of the sport,
they're doing quite well. I predict that this will be another Hankook for Major League Baseball.
I agree. Snapple. Okay, Major League or Minor League had its opening day.
Today.
Oh, it's today.
It's today, yeah. That's the other opening day.
And you'll all be glued around the country. To the internet for that?
Yesterday, I spent an hour going through my Minor League Baseball score app, loading in all the teams that I have minor league players on fantasy teams for.
And are you getting alerts on your phone?
No. That would, first of all, it wouldn't bother me that much, but my wife would go nuts if my phone was lighting up that much. No, so what I'll do is usually at the end of the night while I'm, having my Courvoisier or protein shake or kale salad or whatever it is I'm doing at the end of the night to calm down and chill out.
Soft tossing?
Yeah, I'll be soft. This is before I soft toss. This is sort of my foreplay to soft tossing.
Okay.
Is I'll actually go through each team and see how each player did.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. You are dedicated to the prospect world.
Yeah. I love it. I love young men. I love athletic young men.
You have made that very clear in this broadcast.
It's a brave new world, John. Though I would say, wouldn't it be great if there was an app? I wonder how limited. It's probably maybe a little too niche of a market, but an app that did that for me would be amazing.
Yeah, and it was all
track your minor leaguers.
There's an opportunity there.
I feel like there is an opportunity there.
There's a bunch of people listening right now that are going like, oh, I would so use that. I would so use that.
There's so much wrong with that sentence, John. First of all, there are not a bunch of people listening. Second of all, none of them are thinking that.
There's got to be at least one or two.
Yeah, that's probably true. I would say that at least 10% of our audience think like, yeah, that would be kind of cool. But also, like, wouldn't you? You have minor leaguers in your family. Sure, wouldn't you have that app and just be like, hey, how are my minor leaguers doing? Probably not as good as Jed's because Jed's better.
Because I haven't done what you've – I've not set it up to to have immediate access. Every once in a while I'll go in and go, oh, let me go to MILB.com and see what's going on with these guys, especially the low minors guys. I really don't follow that too closely. Once or twice a year I'll take a peek.
Yeah. But it'd also, be nice though, they move up, right? Right. They move up the minor league, so it's like, well, I got to change the team that I'm following.
And that would be awesome to have an alert that a player moved up, because that's not really going to percolate all the way up to, you know, your traditional sporting websites and stuff like
that. Or even social media.
Yeah, Major League Baseball Trade Rumors does a pretty good job of letting you know who's moving where.
Yeah.
But not that deep.
But not minor leagues, yeah. You know what they need is Minor League Baseball Trade Rumors.
There you go. That would be a niche for sure.
Minor League Baseball Transaction Rumors.
.com.
.com. I'm in.
Okay, let's move on to starting nine.
All right. Starting nine.
So for this week, we have in honor of Roseanne's return, amazingly.
Triumphant
to the top of
return.
The, triumphant return to the top of the Nielsen ratings. Nine players with 80s TV show names.
Yes.
So this should be fun.
So start off with the easy one, Roseanne. Xander Bogaerts. Rose Xander Bogaerts.
There you go.
I Red like Sox, that. Right? Mm-hmm. Addison Married with Children.
Very good. Addison Reed. Very nice.
Daniel Murphy Brown.
Okay.
A couple easy ones there, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Last week I called Daniel Murphy David Murphy because I can't figure out which one is which. They're both lefties. They were both on the Mets at some point. I don't know. I think Daniel Murphy is the guy that's on the Nationals, though. Okay, how about this? Ty Wander Years Walker.
That's good. I like it.
Eric Hosmer, the boss. Paul Goldenschmidt Girls.
I got the giggles.
Yeah. Arodis Miami Vice Cayeno, Arodis Vizcaino. That sounds like a made-up name, but
no,
Arodis Vizcaino,
the real deal.
Yeah, the Cosby Shohei Ohtani.
Very good. That was a tough one.
Yeah, yeah.
You went deep.
Yeah, Joe Musgroving Pains.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Michael Fulmer House.
This is just, you're going really deep on these.
Yeah. And then away from the comedies, though Miami Vice isn't a comedy, Drew Stecknight Writer. Pitcher for the Miami Marlins.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I think that might be my favorite one as far as, you know, front of the order to the back of the order.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah, it was strong.
All the way through.
It was fun.
Yeah, nice. Okay, let's move on to extra innings, where we take a look outside the world of baseball. We had very anticlimactic end to the NCAA March Madness tournament. It really was not really madness at all.
Yeah.
It was kind of like the March doldrums, more or less. And that's largely because Villanova was dominant.
Yeah. You know,
they won every single game in the tournament, all six of their games, by 12 or more points. And looked like it was going to be a game for the first 8-10 minutes of the first half, and then it was over by halftime.
It was like March sanity.
Yeah, it was not you really want those games to be, although the Duke Kansas game was, or the Duke not Kansas, cuz Kansas lost to Villanova, but the Duke Villanova game was good.
Yeah.
Was it Duke Villanova?
Whatever.
I don't remember.
The 16 seed beating the 1 seed was kind of amazing, of course.
That was great. That was great.
But then and it Loyola. Just sort of like everything, the Loyola Chicago, that was kind of a cool story. But then everything else was just kind of like, I don't know, just kind of a boring tournament this year. It's very strange.
And I was busy on Saturday, so I didn't get a chance to watch the two games. I think I watched the second half of the second game. But I was like checking my phone every once in a while, and I saw that Loyola was up by 10 points with like 10 minutes to go in the game. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a great story.
Yeah.
And then they laid an egg, and Michigan outscored them something like 24-2.
Yeah.
And wound up winning by a dozen or so.
Yeah, which is in itself its own great story, but just not the great story that...
Yeah, it kind of made for a... But the guard, the sixth man off the bench for Villanova, what a game he had.
Yeah. I figured that Michigan just kind of used everything up to win. I mean, they're kids, right? So they kind of used it all up, and then they go into the title game, and it's like, ugh. You know, that whole letdown thing of just, all right, good. Well, now we're here, and now we can focus on this. But gosh, we were really lucky to get here.
It was one of those things that when they, that guy, I can't remember his name, the six man for Villanova, he came out, scored, you know.
Joey Sixman.
Yeah, Sixman. The guy who had to delete his Twitter account. Because apparently when he was in high school, he had used the N-word in talking about lyrics to a rap song. And somebody went and looked. Nobody knew who this guy was. And now all of a sudden he's a superstar and everybody's checking out who he is. And, oh, my God, he said the N-word on his social media account. Yeah. And that blew up into a big story. It's like, really? It's not even 24 hours after the win and we're talking about this guy. That's the story?
Yeah.
How about the amazing game that he played?
It's 2018, man.
I'm not trying to downplay. I don't know the whole story.
No, two years ago, I did that. I went back through all my tweets and pulled anything that was like, you know what?
Ooh.
Someone could think that was this other thing, and let's just get rid of all of them.
Nice. How long did that take you?
It took a good couple hours.
I thought you were going to say a couple weeks.
No, it took a good couple hours. I mean, most of my stuff is surly but not offensive, but there were a couple offensive ones in there. I was like, you know, I don't need this problem 3 years from now when they're like, oh, Jed Rigney's got a new film coming out. Let's take a look at what he said about, you know, Asian Americans.
Well, hopefully they won't listen to this podcast.
Trust me, John, that's not going to be a problem.
Okay, the other big, huge news, and there's actually three big, huge things happening, is the Masters. This is being hyped as probably the, and one of the announcers yesterday in, I think it was Brandon Chamblee, said this is the biggest Masters event in the history of the Masters. Jeez, I can't even talk. And I think it's a
You're just so excited, overhyped. John, that's all. You're all hyped up. You're geeked up about this.
To think that Tiger Woods, and I hope he wins, that would be awesome. It would be a great story. But to think going in and had the odds makers say that he's going to win is crazy.
Yeah.
That, you know, that he's going to, you know, he's only played, you know, four tournaments in the last 2-3 years, and that he's going to come out and win on the grandest stage. Yeah. Highly unlikely, although.
But how hyped up is this Masters? I'm the one that put this on the
rundown. And you're
going to
watch it too?
I'm not going to watch it. I'd rather go do some soft tossing than watch golf. But even if someone is going to lay it up on the green, which I think is also a cool sex thing.
No, lay it up. And soft toss onto the green.
Look, I do other things with my 9-iron. Maybe it's not 9, but you know, it's close to it. I'm a tall person.
Right.
Yeah, no, it looks like a hell of a lineup, and I'm intrigued. I'll follow how it goes, you know, like I do online and stuff. But
you won't be tuning in to the
It's like almost that? Like its own sort of like Avengers thing, like where it's like all these greats coming together at once, you know, and so we can transition over to the Avengers hype, which is going out of control.
Yeah, it's not even, it's still, what, 2-3 weeks away?
Have you seen trailers for this movie? It looks like you're going to spend the whole movie going, wait, this guy's in it too?
They actually put out a press release from the producers saying, please, fans, as you see the press tour, don't talk about it. We want everybody else who's going to be seeing this to see it without the spoilers. So
right.
Keep it to yourselves, which is brilliant PR because it's making like, really? What's going to happen? There's got to be a twist. I can't miss this.
Yes. I'm sure that's what's going to make people see this movie, John. Let me ask, first of all, before we go further, are you going to see it in the theater?
I'll see it in the theater. Yeah.
I will not see it in the theater.
I won't see it opening week, but I'll see it in the theater.
I will not see it in the theater.
Why is that?
Honestly, it's just too much. You know, like all the Avengers stuff, I think I saw the first one and I was like, yeah, that's a little too much. A little too many superheroes in one go for me. Mm-hmm. And then like now they're adding people and then it's like everyone from the Marvel universe and like, that's Ghost World, Daria. What is Garfield doing in here?
See, I got nothing on that stuff. I don't follow. I was not a comic book kid. I did Spider-Man.
Charlie Brown rolls across the screen. What's happening?
Is this Ready Player One? Have you seen that yet?
I have not. No, I'll wait. Either. I will wait till that shows up on my television.
Now, I like to go to the popcorn movies, the blockbuster movies in the theater because they're spectacles.
I just feel like I'm going to be really annoyed by the film. And I feel like when I wait to see it at home,
you can trash talk it.
I'm less annoyed because it's like, well, I just paid $4 or it's free or whatever. And like, okay, I'll watch this. I don't have a problem.
And you didn't spend, you know, $40, $50 on the tickets and
popcorn. Exactly. And the Uber ride, right? Which. Right.
Adds to it all, yeah.
Because I don't have a car.
Me neither.
Yeah.
But you did say you're going to be driving cross country.
Yeah, we'll rent a car. It's not that expensive. It's like $600 for 7 days. But that's like 2 airline tickets, so it's great.
Yeah, so you get to tour the country.
Yeah. Also, I'm location scouting for my next film. Nice. So it's kind of a double. And then we have some people that we're visiting in Chattanooga. My film producer lives there. And... so we're kind of going there, and no one cares. What else? That's it.
It is. Yeah. What's coming up next?
Get caught up on the latest social media chatter from around the league on the next episode of Designated Twitter.